And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there sitting opposite the tomb. Let's hear the law in its full force. No matter how nicely or positively it states the will of God, which is a loving will of a loving God, as soon as that will is revealed, we find out with undeniable clarity that we are sinners whose good and evil works both do not stand up and stand condemned in the sight of God. And the fact that we hear the commandments not so much as calling us to do good and walk as God's children, but as forbidding this and that, is a perfect illustration that our hearts are still set on those other things. The commandments are the hammer blows of God's law, demanding, setting up perfection, judging that we have fallen short, beginning with the attitude in our hearts toward God, ranging through the words and acts that we have toward God and toward our neighbor, and finishing with the catch-all, you shall not covet. So that if you can hear the rest of the law of God, the rest of the Ten Commandments, and somehow miss the fact that you have broken the perfect law and acted with rebellion against the perfect will of God, this one, you shall not covet, finishes off all our weaseling around. You stand there with nothing left to say to God. Hammer blows, carving the will of God into stone, eternal, a monument to eternal truth of what is good and right, and there it is right in our face. You shall have no other gods. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. And then God does what is astonishing. And you thought you were left with nothing to say before, but then he sends Jesus into our world to do the law in our place, and then to present himself before the holiness of God in our place. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Perfect faith. Out there in the boat, out on the lake. And then the Garden of Gethsemane. Yet not what I will, but what you will be done. A life of many nights in prayer. And a complete life of hallowing and bringing praise to his Father's name, keeping the Sabbath and the Scripture as they were intended to be kept, healing and doing good on the Sabbath, calling us to come and find rest for our souls, obedient to his father and mother, preserving the life of the woman caught in adultery, and raising the dead, living and calling others to the morally pure life, working and laboring as an honest craftsman, speaking the truth in love and not coveting. Jesus takes this perfect life of obedience, this perfect life of faith, and he goes to be the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He writes the perfection of faith in the words of the cross, and then he seals the perfect obedience in stone and with stone, as the tomb receives him and is closed. And he does it with all the finality of the thunderclap from heaven and the rending of the curtain. It is done. It is finished. But there is more. Jesus is the living one. And the image changes again. He is the living stone. Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Jesus is the living stone because he is the living one. So when this living one comes among us, we see life being given. Jairus' daughter, little girl, arise. The son of the widow at Nain, who is commanded to come back to life, and Jesus gives him back to his mother. Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. This is why we celebrate Easter. And we celebrate it continually. Because this living one has written the testimony of the love of God in the cross, in the stone of the empty tomb rolled away, and we're not supposed to do this, but because it's still Lent, but it's still true. Christ is risen. In defiance of everything, in defiance of everything in this death-filled world, Christ is living. Christ is risen. And we are joined to this living one as living stones built on the living stone. And the things that happen here are living things. God's Word, baptism in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Lord's Supper given to us with the living body and blood of Christ, given to us with all the power of Easter. He calls us to come and hear, be washed with, and eat and drink the power of the resurrection. It is the stuff of the life of God that he puts in your ears, pours over your heads, and puts in your mouths. You are joined to Christ and connected to him by word and sacrament. And you then, as living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, connected to Christ as a living temple, offering spiritual sacrifices. And how this happens? Again, through the cross. And bringing back the image from the Ten Commandments engraved in stone, God once again talks about the engraving. And Jesus, who is the living stone, says, I will not forget you. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. In Jesus' name, amen.